Welcome to Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Brown. This is a podcast connecting people living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change. Since 2017, we've shared the stories of over 100 individuals from every walk of life from across the country and beyond. Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio partners with nonprofits, creatives, and other organizations to spread the good news that we're all stronger together. Our current partner is the Esteem Awards Pride Index. Founded by Phil Esteem, the Esteem Awards is a 501c3 organization dedicated to promoting positive images of LGBTQ communities and our allies. Since 2007, the Esteem Awards has honored over 300 local and national organizations and individuals for their continued efforts in supporting the areas of entertainment, media, civil rights, social services, businesses, and the arts. PrideIndex.com is an entertainment and information resource portal for the Esteem Awards. Marcus Coley is originally from Carlsbad, California, but Michigan is home. The oldest of four children, he always knew he was different, but just didn't know how or why. Inspired by his eighth grade teacher, he began writing at age 14. By 16, he began to write his thoughts, his dark pleasures, and his dark secrets. By 21, he had enough time hiding and began to write his story. His book, Being That Kid, is a coming out story. His coming out story. It may sound like everybody else's story, but there's a difference. And we'll talk about that tonight. Marcus, welcome to Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Michelle. Thank you for that warm introduction.
You know, when we started talking, I asked you, you know, for the correct pronunciation of your name, and you said Marcus, and I had been looking at it and saying Marquise, and I noticed on your Facebook page that you said you are unique, like having the Q in your name. Is there a story behind that spelling of your name?
To be honest with you, just because unique is spelled with a Q and U, and it's exactly how my name is spelled. There's the M, there's the A, there's the R, there's Q U, the E, and the S, and it just signifies that I'm very special and unique in my own little way.
I like that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and I'm glad that you highlighted that in your thing, as unique as the Q in my name. So you're one of four, the oldest.
Yes, ma'am.
And you, most part, you grew up here in Michigan. What was your home like in your family? What was the family dynamic?
Well, most family members can't say this in the community. I grew up with both my parents. My parents have been married now for going on, I want to say, 39 years in December.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in a interracial couple, we've had our challenges, but yet we still stood strong together.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love that you said that it was a teacher. I had an aunt who was a teacher. Well, she didn't live here. She lived in Kentucky, Henderson, Kentucky. And I often tell the story, like, I would write her my little stories and things, and she would send them back, sometimes corrected with little red pencil, but sometimes with, you know, ideals like explore this, try that. And that, what I often people say, well, what? Some people say, I would have quit writing. Well, I said, I didn't write her as much, but I took that in and it made me fall in love with writing. What did that teacher give to you, tell you about writing and the power of words that set you on this path?
To be honest with you, it was actually my science teacher. She was Mrs. Miss Russell back in fifth grade, but she just told me to be myself and not worry about anyone else. And that's all she asked me to do. And she took so much time and patience is another thing that she taught me. And forgot about it over the years, but working in what I do now, I have that patience for my people that I work with, and it's just amazing. And I was getting ready to close out for the evening at my one job at the time, and I was checking this patient in because I work in the medical field, and it happens to be my sixth grade teacher.
Wow.
And I was like, this is so uncanny and so surreal. So we stopped, we exchanged phone numbers, we kept in contact, we text. When I first did a release for my book, I invited her to come out because she moved to Kalamazoo, and she came out and had that support. Was fantastic. And then I had other teachers I've ran into, and it just made me feel good that I've done something and I've left an impression. I've done something right. And they always said I was always unique.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is how unique. You walk in the room and there she is. Wow.
Exactly.
Did she recognize you?
Yes, she did. A lot of my teachers, and if you look at photos of me when I was growing up, I looked exactly the same. The only thing is I've gotten taller and grayer.
Oh, wow. Wow. Did you tell her of the impact of that she had on your life?
When I did my first event, I did thank her. I made sure she knew, and she was just floored. She didn't realize she did an impact. I'm like, you don't know how much you touch someone's life until you are no longer in that person's realm.
Mm.
Wow. And you always have that wonder how that teacher was after you left school.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so great. I've known people and interviewed people who have been in the teaching profession, many who have retired. And, I mean, once I went to a luncheon, and I was sitting there talking to this one teacher who had been retired for a long time, and she was telling her story. And so he wasn't that young. He was an adult. But he walked up, sat down, joined the group, and started telling her about the impression that she had made on him. And what was funny was after she left, she said, I don't know who he was. And I said, but you know what? He knew who you were, and that meant so much, you know? Wow. So when you started writing, what form did you do? Was it like essays? Did you write poetry? What did you start? What were you drawn to write?
I was drawn to stories at the beginning. I always wanted to write stories as a kid, and I would write one, but it never made sense. In sixth grade, my first story, God forgive me for saying this out loud, because I told myself I would never share this out loud. I wrote a story about the Beanie Babies back in the 90s grade. Mm-hmm. And I called it painful. I had a 5-subject notebook, and I wrote every day until I lost it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going to stop writing and do something different.
Wow.
And then each day we had assignment and all the different versions of it. And my poetry is free verse. So I don't like to rhyme because I like to tell a story when I write my poetry. It creates imagery in your head.
Yeah, I'm more of a free verse sort of person. You know, every now and then I'll surprise myself that, that rhymed. But, you know, I didn't plan that to happen, but the imagery of words, I mean, it's so powerful. What do you, when you're thinking about writing, and even back then, did the power of words sort of, did you grasp that even at a young age and you said, like, you know, I'm going to write these stories, but you wanted to more than tell a story, but to touch somebody?
In the past, and still to my present day life, I don't think about what I'm writing. I just let the pen do I just let it flow. I just black out, and I let the pen flow, hit the paper. And when my heart stops talking, I'll drop the pen, but I'll go back and read what I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said like a lot of this, you've been writing this, you know, working on it like since you were 16. I know you have a lot of different things, and you say it's your coming out story. But now that you've got this book and you're out there, have you had someone sit down and go like, you know, that's my story? Or how did you know? Or that you touched them in a way that, like you said, the power of words, it's not just your story, but that word can reach out and touch that person. Have you found that you find people in the audience who maybe afterwards you can tell that in telling your story, you were telling theirs?
Actually, in my everyday life, I had a patient of mine tell me that, thank you for being visible. Because for being half African-American, and the patient I'm talking about was African-American, and he's still trying to understand his own son's coming out. And so he called me, and he talked to me personally. He would not talk to anyone else off in the office except for me, and ask me questions and just to know what's going on. And one day he walked in the office, had this big Kool-Aid smile on his face, and had a T-shirt that said P flag.
Wow.
Just see that. I touched someone's life like that. He's like, thank you for giving me understanding.
You know, you bring in different parts of your life. Like you are, your mother, I believe, did you say Irish?
My mom is Irish and German, and my father is African-American.
You not only have this artistic part of you, you have your regular job, you know. You walk unapologetically being yourself. And that puts you in a unique position. Do you ever find that having that background gives you a perspective, being like just like you were able to talk to that parent, that visibility in all your different backgrounds, and you don't shy away from any of them. Do you find that helps you walk into a room and make connections?
I can walk into a room and I will not meet a stranger. With me being German, Irish, African-American, raised Catholic, my dad being Baptist, dad being a Marine, I can relate on so many different levels with people, and I'm so empathetic. And to hear people's stories and just feel their pain, feel their hurt, and be able to understand and go in deeper, or just walk into a room like, okay, someone's not doing so well. What's going on?
That's interesting. I, too, was raised Catholic. And my father's family they've been Baptist. His way of rebelling was he raised us Catholic, you know. but I find, too, I have gone to places where people make assumptions. They see me and they make assumptions. Like they might see me and assume, well, of course I have a Baptist or a Methodist or some kind of background. Like, oh, no, actually, I was raised Catholic. I'm not practicing now, but I was raised Catholic. And they go like, oh, you know. And then that opens up a different, whole, totally different thing. But I do understand some parts from that other background. How did you work that? You know, I mean, were you exposed to that the Baptist part as well as the Catholic part?
With being raised in the Catholic Church, I saw catechism grades 1 through 1st through 5th grade. After that, my mom wanted something different, so we went to a Nazarene church. We were there until I was about 8th grade. We left that to go to a Free Methodist church. But my junior of high school, I left a public school to go to a Christian school, but it was based in a Baptist church. Mm. So I got to see the Baptist side. So I have all these around me, and I'm able to have conception of what's going on, and I know for myself, I don't have to go to a building to worship God. I can do whatever I want to do for myself. I have that free will in myself to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, many in our community, LGBTQ plus community, have had a challenging time with organized religion. In fact, many people have been very hurt to where they go like completely the other way. And there's still some who are looking for, you know, a way back in. When you talk to them about, you know, not when you're talking with someone and that realization that you don't have to have a building and you've seen all these different things, does that come through that level of, for lack of a better word, a spirituality in your writing and in how you live your life?
I live my truth, and I don't need to go to a church. I just want to be myself. And I've gone through a lot in the last couple years of my life. I've gone through some turmoil, but where I'm at right now in my life, I'm very happy. I'm at peace with myself. I'm actually able to smile again and be able to laugh and look at myself in the mirror and be like, I know who that person is, and I'm happy to see where I'm going and where the future takes me.
Mm-hmm. So we were introduced through a good friend of a mutual friend of ours, Angela, who was like so excited that, you know, like you could feel the excitement in her writing that, you know, and she introduced you to, I want to say, me, Victor, and somebody else whose name escapes me. But you could see this excitement that she had met you, and she just wanted to share this person with I said, you guys need to know this person, and this is who he is, and this is what he did. What was that connection like? And were you surprised that then she took it to that next level, to the sort of like broaden your...
I wasn't surprised because the connection was just organic, and I can't thank my publicist, Dina Walters, shameless plug right there, but help me out. She hears me, and when I'm looking for something, if I want to do something different, I will ask her, what do you think about this? And then within 5 seconds later, I have a meeting for you set up. Is this available for you?
Wow, that's great. That's great. Wow. I mean, you know, because really, and so it must be something about you that says, you know, like you're in this for real, and like you really want to share this word, this vision, your story, that it seems to be quite infectious. Because I know when I talk to you, it's like, hey, you know, I like this guy. You know, I want to know more about him. So let's talk about, first of all, about the book, and it's like Being That Kid. How did you choose that title? And tell me about how you came about and what you wanted to say with Being That Kid.
So I had a vision years ago, and I started writing a blog, and I wanted to be an advocate. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to make a difference in this world. Because, like Pink says, we're in charge of our ripple, and it's up to us how we affect those people. So I was looking at it, and I was looking at old poetry and my old blog posts, and one of the things I posted was being that kid in school. And I'm like, okay, there's something about this one. I wrote this one for a reason, but I don't know why. And I go to work, and I'm wearing a sweatshirt that says, continue your story. And a person comes up to me and says, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, this sweatshirt represents people that are suicide awareness. He's like, oh, okay, that's cool, but what's your story? And I start explaining the story that I'm working on, right? He's like, no, that you did not get the question. What is your story? So I went back and I looked at being that kid in school again, and I read it more. And that's when Being That Kid was born. I gathered all the poetry and all the short essays that I've written in the past and try to formulate and see how this will work into not my coming out story, but a story that can touch someone that can say, hey, I'm like this. I am that kid. Doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, lesbian, brown, purple, green. I don't care. Everyone is that kid. Everyone can relate to this book. When you read it yourself, it is very relatable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like you had a, how did you decide from all of this material, what's going to go in and what's not? And the things that did not go in, do you see them coming back in another form or outside of being that kid?
The other poetry will not see the light of day, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But there's other things happening in the horizon. I'm working on another untitled project. I may be working on a podcast with my drag sister / very best friend of mine from about 8-10 years now. Her and I talked the idea of possibly having a podcast called That Podcast to continue that kid's movement. Working on a documentary for finding those. So that kid is just the beginning, and that kid follows suit everything. So it will be a continuation in its own way.
So when I know that you started doing book readings. Where have you been reading from your book at? What venues have you been choosing?
The very first one was at Liberty Bar in Pontiac, which was basically a meet and greet. Thank you for everyone for their support. My partner was working at a nonprofit organization and called DHCC. Shout out to them and out there and in Detroit. And he had my book on his desk, and one of his people that he worked with asked him what that was about, and they were hosting a Pride event, but they didn't know what to do. I met them, and they're like, we want you to host our Pride event. So I did their Pride last year for their Pride kickoff, and being that kid has taken off from there. I have now been asked to come back to host their Pride event every year.
Well, which Pride is this?
This will be Detroit Hispanic Development Corporation in Detroit, Detroit, Michigan. I work with them. We work with a nonprofit. They're a nonprofit, Trumbull. Amazing human beings. They are lovely people. I'm so thankful that I met them. So I did a reading there, and then I went to Hazel Park Cafe in Hazel Park, and I did a open mic night there. But then the owner, I got the courage to ask him if I can host a GoFundMe fundraiser for the book that hit the stores. Had a fundraiser there a couple weeks ago, and now Hazel Park Cafe is my headquarters.
Awesome, awesome.
So anytime someone wants to meet with me or want to set up something, a meet and greet or set up an event, that's where I will be.
Now, is your plan just to go like through that, or are you looking at working with, because I could even see you like reading at organizations, particularly, I mean, youth-led organizations or youth organizations, and then having conversations afterwards. Do you see that? I mean, because I haven't read through everything, but I've read quite a bit of it, and I can see that a lot of it that would be leave it open to, you know, having a conversation afterwards, maybe even inspiring young kids like being that kid, to write their stories. Have you considered that?
I actually am. I'm actually going to be going to speak with Hazel Park High School pretty soon. I'm just waiting for the hear back when I'm invited to come out. My next event at DHCC, since I'm coming back and hosting their event. This year, we're gearing it towards the youth department.
Mm-hmm.
So with them and their demographic, it's mostly the Hispanic communications and community. And so I wrote my book in Spanish. So that way it can translate, and that way they can understand, and I can reach out another demographic for another nonprofit that I work with.
That's interesting. Did it translate easily into Spanish? Because, you know, there are certain things, there's ways that I said it in English. It's a little different in Spanish. Did you find it translated easily? Did you have to massage part of it to get that same feel, that same movement?
I'm thankful that my godbrother, who is also the guy that's my website designer, speaks Spanish, mm-hmm. and also one of the providers I work with, who also speaks Spanish fluently. They teamed up together, and I sent it to my IT guy, my godbrother, and also my provider that I work with. He's the one that wrote it out in Spanish for me. So he would text me, like, what does this mean? So he did a lot of the work. I got a shout out to Alfredo Navarro for doing that for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I like the cover, and, you know, and it's like anyone who hasn't seen the book would see, it's like I see a keyhole, somebody peeking in, and here's this kid sitting in there. What was the inspiration behind that, and, you know, who designed that cover?
So that was Peter Thaddeus, which I have to shout out to him because he lives in Chicago. I was there, and he had a pop-up, and I saw his artwork, and I fell in love with it. And the art pieces will be displayed hopefully this summer, if not later on this fall. I will have the pieces so that way people can see them in my own home, or anytime I go somewhere, they will be with me. But the keyhole came from the idea of originally my blog was called Cries from the Closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a little boy, like someone looking in on him and just crying, but not just crying mm-hmm. tears, but also you see the rainbow flag hiding behind him briefly. Mm-hmm. Like, is he hiding that, or is he hiding something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It was like that, just sort of, my eye kept coming back to it, and, you know, I saw many things like who is it peeping in at this kid, or do they know, and is it someone who wanted to, you know you were in there feeling bad and watching to see if you were all right? Was it someone who was going to open the door and, you know, come in and just hug you and say, you are perfect as you are? It sort of makes your mind wander. What was the kid thinking, you know, sitting there, like, you know, am I all alone? I mean, it brought a lot of emotion to me looking at that.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's what it is. It's thought-provoking, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to grab people's attention. Like, I want you to be able to stop and, like, what is this about?
Mm-hmm. So your writing process, so after you, now, did you self-publish?
Yes, I have self-published. I didn't go through any publishing company. This is all me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you, you know, as you continue, you know, is it something, if it came to the opportunity to have a broader distribution, is that something that you would consider going to a mainstream publisher, or, and I know too, like, you know, that's a lot of work when, you know, everybody who writes a book and you go to a publisher, many of them, they get turned down. I've done a writing workshop where someone said, well, you know, they want a certain template, and they want it to look this way. They want it to look like it has to be super sad or about sex or about that. Is that part of why you opted to do it yourself?
The end game is to actually have the book in stores. Ingram Sparks is one of the national publishing companies in the world. So once you're on Ingram Sparks, you can ship your book to different stores, Barnes & Nobles, Target, Walmart, wherever you can think of going to. And some of these standalone bookstores will actually buy books also to have them. And another lookbooks in Taylor told me as soon as that happens, they'll order a couple so that way I can do a reading there, or I can go to Sidetrack Books and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm just trying to create the buzz so that way people can start walking around and then I am that kid, and people will ask them, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see, you know, the T-shirts, you know, the tote bag. I can see the whole thing. I have met many authors, and what I love about a lot of the authors that I meet, and I've done it myself, like they'll show up at a conference or a book thing, and, you know, you've got your little tote thing with your books, and you set them all up, and people come by, and you talk to them. And, I mean, there's something cool about that because nobody is going to promote your book or sell your book like you do yourself, you know? I mean, it could be a nice little blurb, but people can say a nice thing, but there's something about when people sit down and talk with you, hear you read it, you know, get that signature, you know, it's something special about that. Do you enjoy that part of being an author?
I do. Like, I love meeting, bringing different people of different walks of life together. And my heroes did this before me, and I want to say that I'm Harvey Milk and Martin Luther King's love child, because somehow, shape, or form, when I get on stage talking about my book, something takes over, and Marcus doesn't come into the picture anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a driving force that will speak up and just command a room.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another picture that, which, you know, tugs at my heart. It's of a young man, and he's sitting there. It almost looks like he has in prayer, but, you know, I'm trying to see. Because when it printed out a different, I want to say it's on page 6. And the tears on his face, and he, you know, he's got his hand. It could be on in prayer, or it could just be like hands up speaking to the universe, like, why am I different, you know? Why am I going through this pain? That picture.
Yes.
Tell me about that picture.
That picture right there.
Artist, and then he said, oh, I get you.
So Peter Thaddeus did all the artwork. So I gave him a concept, and I told him, I give you freedom.
Mm.
The only thing I ask is I want you to do this one for the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But the other pictures that I have in the book, I want 4 all together.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do the other 3. I want you to read the book and read it again, and you design what spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
What captured your attention? What made you want to? I want you to be inspired from what I wrote. And
mm-hmm.
from what he... Because that was supposed to go with A Mother's Secret, and I decided to go with Our God is an Awesome God in the book,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just being in the church, and it fit perfectly. Like, I'm
mm-hmm.
somewhat in just asking the universe or asking the higher power, why am I different?
Mm-hmm.
If why am I on this earth? Why am I trying to make my life difficult when it's already going to be difficult than it already is?
Mhm. Mm. You know, I'm glad that you're going to. So you're going to have them like maybe surrounding you, maybe at some book point where they will be up. Would you have a permanent home coming for these drawings?
I will have a home coming for the drawings. I'm not saying when, but they will be coming home. So once they're home, I will be having a huge event to celebrate their home and the success of what being that kid's all about, because that's what it is. It's not about the rich. It's not about the fame. It's trying to create a movement and trying to create a safer place for you and I and bringing color into a black and white world.
You know, because, you know, I like the art too. 2 of them, which sort of say it from a different perspective. You've got one with the bullseye on your back. but then the other one where people are pointing at you. And it's both of them. It's sort of like either you're in, as someone who grew up, you know, oh, I don't want people to find out, you know, or feeling that if people found out that there'd be something wrong with me because you hear people talking about it. So you think that part, you know, and then being yourself is a thing with it. Like not only, like you said, I can see having that on the back. Okay, when I was in Catholic school, the Catholic school I went to was predominantly white. So I had fingers pointing at me because I was black. You know, then there were the people sometimes who were Baptists who didn't understand why we were Catholic, you know, and then so with all of these things, the hate, the ignorance, all of these things with this arrow on your back where you think you're going to do it. But then there's the other part. When you stand up and you're you, people are pointing at me, oh, there he is, you know. We knew he went to that Catholic school and his dad was Baptist and his mother's white. He just, you know, so it's like these two pictures are both sides of two sides of the same coin. Does that make
exactly
sense? Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's like, yeah. And they're equally powerful.
I appreciate that. And that's what they stand for. They're supposed to be thought provoking. And so if you look into the book, there's a section called Colorblind, and it talks mm-hmm. about I never grew up knowing race until I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand. Like, people would ask me, well, your stepmom's here. I'm like, well, who's my stepmom? Did my dad get married when I was gone?
mm-hmm.
Because I only have one mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, there's actually physical evidence of my mom being pregnant with me. So, like, I only have the one mom.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, wow. I just like, no, I only have one mom. That's her. You know, so many things that you know, people were pulling at you from all different directions. How hard did that make it for you to finally break free and say, hey, look, yeah, I am that kid. I'm all of that, and then some, and then move on to show them the then some beyond all those stereotypes you want to put on me, but you are more than that. What is there something that you think that particularly gave you that push out the closet, as they say, or that push into a bigger space?
I mean, my coming out story was pretty intense, but I mean, whose wasn't? But mm-hmm. I was always in the middle, but like I was always the one in the front. I was in the front lines, but I was always in the shadows as I got older, and I always put the other person I was with before me. So I always showed them that you can be in the spotlight, but some traumatic events happened in my life, so I decided, you know, I got to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in the spotlight, and now all eyes are on me. I'm like, holy crap. But I'm very thankful that I have a partner, Roofer, that's with me currently, and I'm so very thankful. I learned a lot about myself in the last 2 years being with this person, and I learned that I don't want a person to stand behind me. I need a person to stand beside me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And to show me the greatness that I can do, and as long as I can show them the greatness in return.
Mm-hmm.
The cheerleading is combined. Like, we celebrate the good things, we celebrate the bad things, but together, we're in this together. Like, I learned what a partner actually is versus being a partner on a tennis match or ping pong or something like that. I learned so much what a partner means, and in the beginning, I always thought, oh, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went from a boyfriend to a caregiver to a fiance to a husband, but never understood, got to the trials of what a partner meant until I met Rupert. And mm-hmm. thank him so much for that, because he's taught me so much about myself that I didn't realize existed. and to have him by my side to this day, I cannot imagine my life without this person.
You know, that is so important. Like you said, you don't want someone who's behind you. You don't need somebody pushing you along. You don't want to walk behind them in their shadow, but to walk side by side and sort of see the beauty in each of you and also reflect that. You know, they can see the beauty in you, you see the beauty in them, but you reflect that, and together it's such a strong, positive light. You know, that is so important, especially when you're starting to do what you're doing now. You know, you're really stepping out there, you're talking about your book, you have these other projects. Now, I've done this for more than a minute. I still, when I read something and I know what it's about, it's sort of intimate, but I know I'm reading it to an audience because I know that many of them are saying they feel the same way. I still get a little shaky. I mean, I have gotten up there and given a speech. No, I'm right on, you know, but if someone, and people say, oh, you're so brave and you did that, but if they had been able to see my legs, my knees are still shaking. Do you still get that?
If it's around people I don't know, that's when I get nervous. But when it's around people I know, I'm totally different. Like, my office will make the joke, they will hear me before they see me. Because I will walk into a room, my smile lights up the room, my hair will give me away. I am the guy with the purple hair at the front desk. They will see me, and they will be like, you must be Marcus. So I'm like, yep, that is me.
Wow. So you're telling me these other things that you have in mind, the documentary, more writing. What's your next step? What do you want to do next?
My next is living life and just enjoying the moment and just making sure people are heard and being authentic, more authentic than I ever have in the last year and a half. Being a better partner, being a better person in the world.
How do you balance? Now, I know that you're in the medical field, but you're also very creative. And I'm sure being in the hospital and you go and you see people sometimes at their worst, at their strongest, does that feed into your creativity ever?
No, it's just these people speak to me. They can go in there and they won't know who their doctor is, but they will leave by knowing who I am because I took the time to get to know them. They will call and be like, is Marcus there?
Oh.
And the first thing I will ask them, how's mom doing? Or how's the dog doing? Because last time we talked, this was going on. You doing okay today? Or just give them a compliment.
And do you find that empathy comes from having been that kid?
It comes from being an empath itself. So I wear an amethyst necklace around my neck, but I also have to cover it up because if I don't, I'm going to be drained all day. I will be out of spoons.
So what do your siblings think of Marcus the author?
My brother's pretty chill. My brother is very chill. He's very not like me. My siblings are shy, but my brother Christopher has his music, and he's an amazing musician. Hopefully, he'll be performing with me at one of these events. My one sister, Shannon, she's an amazing soccer coach. She has now traveled. She is now in Delaware. I'm so proud of her, what she's doing. My youngest sister, Bree, and she's in somewhat of the medical field, like, with me, but behind the scenes. But she has her young child, my niece, and seeing my niece through her eyes is just amazing. Uncle Purple can be even more proud. I'm so proud of my siblings and paving the way for them.
Now, has your family attended any of your readings yet?
My siblings are scattered all over the place. So I have my youngest sister, Bree, and my brother, Chris, in Michigan. But my one sister, Shannon, she's in Delaware, so it's very hard for them to come out because of their own personal lives. but they will always catch it streaming, or they will send me a good luck text saying "Mac and dead," or just be you.
Mm-hmm. When your parents, and I'm assuming, have your parents read your book? I'm assuming they have.
Yes, they have.
Did it ever bring up afterwards, did they say, you know, did they realize what you were going through or want to have conversation with you about some of the things in the book?
My dad actually surprised me. My dad's the reason why I'm the man I am today. He is a very strong individual, and so is my mother, but my dad was the one that held my mom together. And they always say being queer is like a white person thing, especially if you're African American, and it's so taboo. But my dad stood up and was just like, we're going to stay strong for our son. We're going to keep this together.
Yeah.
He was the one that told me we're going to P-Flag. He's the one that was my mom's strength and everything. My dad is my best friend. When I got married, he was my best man at my wedding,
oh,
and I couldn't ask for a better man to stand beside me for that. And when I was going through my divorce, my dad stood beside me and coached me the whole entire time.
Wow. That is great. You know, it's funny because, I mean, my mother was my best friend. And I can certainly understand that, you know, and to have someone who is there when good times, bad times, and to have that strength, you know, that strength, like, you know, like you can get through this. You can get through this, son, father, you know. Wow, that's beautiful. So I just lost my train of thought. Isn't that something? I'm telling you. The sunshine got to me today. I've lost my train of thought. But I like your book. I think it's really good. I'm looking forward to hearing you read from your book because, I mean, it's one thing that you read the words on the page and, you know, I might feel something, but it's something when someone hears the author reading from that book. Where are you reading next? What's your schedule like?
My next scheduled event is June 14th at DHGC for the youth. And so I will actually be reading more than I have been because my words have power. And so that's what I've been told, that I need to actually now read besides hiding behind a persona. So that kid is actually going to make an appearance and actually share his story. Yes, there will be drag queens. Yes, there will be performers. But at the end of the day, there will be a conversation to make it known that it's okay. It's okay to be different. We dare to be different.
I like the fact, you know, because our community, I mean, many people think we've come a long way. But when you see the foolishness about our drag community, but in the beauty that they bring. I have seen, drag queens who do storytelling for kids. Those kids are just, like, hanging on every word, and then they ask them questions, really, about being themselves. Yeah, and that is so important, and it doesn't have to be just something where you go to a certain club to see it. They integrate it into everything from brunches to bingo to drag shows, but then also as part of a performance piece where you're reading and you have musicians and you have that. I think that that's really strong. I think that's really important. What made you decide to have that so sort of like, it's almost like a performance piece that you're doing and you're a part of it. You are one of the actors in this overall thing. The book is might be like the star, but you have these supporting actors who are coming from all parts of the community.
And that's what it is. That's what being that kid is all about, is trying to bring people together. I've been able to work with a drag queen who I've seen pop up on my Facebook and actually watch her perform live. I will fangirl scream all day long. I am her biggest fan, besides her husband. I wish I could see her more and travel to see her. But with work and me trying to do things my own, she just knows she's got a number one fan, but a number two fan, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
well, I mean, you
that
know,
fires other people.
When is it? Last year. Last year, when there's a whole lot of hate going on, I was in Ann Arbor, and there was one of there's a fellow there who was coming from the Pulse Foundation. And, you know, we were talking about all they were doing. And Jaden said, you know what, I'll be down in Florida. At a time when anyone else would say, you know, don't go down to Florida, they're crazy. But she said, you know, they wanted to do a fundraiser. She said, I'll be down there on these dates. I mean, I see these people, I mean, who are fearless. Fearless where it would be easy, you know, to hide. I have a friend who's in New Jersey, Harmonica Sunbeam, and I mean, she goes in places, she helps other people come and like, okay, well, you need to have drag queen storytelling. And we'll go, even though there are people standing outside, you know, want to say unkind things to her as she goes in, but she goes in there because these kids are waiting. I mean, you know, and it's like, yeah, sis, yeah, you got it, you know. So
exactly. I'm trying to do, and that's why I'm a Sapphire and I are actually partnering up for... We are trying to put things together, and I introduced her to DHCC, and we're trying to get things, our ball rolling to see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of different venues that I can think of that might be open to it. And I'd be happy to make sure that you know. So if someone wants a copy of Being That Kid, what's the best way for them to get it from you?
Right now, it is on Amazon for a digital copy for, I believe, $10 in English or Spanish. If you have Kindle, it is free.
Mm-hmm.
But we are diligently right now to get the book in stores. So Dina and I are working very hard.
Now, you mentioned you had a GoFundMe. Is that to get the hard copy or hard soft copies available?
Yes. So that GoFundMe is to set up by... getting the book in stores. So you donate whatever you please. No dollar amount is shunned upon. It's thankful, and thank you for sharing this vision with me that you believe in what I have to say and getting it into stores.
And if they look under GoFundMe, what is it under your name or is it under the book's name?
You can look under my name or you can look up Being That Kid. And you'll be able to find my GoFundMe.
Okay. Now, if someone wants to have you come to their organization, their school, their block club, whatever, to read, what's the best way for them to reach you for that?
You can find me on Facebook by my first and last name. You can also look up the Being That Kid Facebook page, or you can look on directly at being, and that's B-E-I-N, that kid at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or word of mouth. If you know someone that knows somebody that knows Bob, that knows Marcus, reach out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to put all of those up, and, you know, and like I was telling you, I know of people, you know, who would host something like that, who would see it. And I can just see it as a vision and to get back into that, doing that, having people out there who are reading, sharing their stories. And sometimes it doesn't have to miss. I know some people say, oh, well, it's about kids. No, it can help a kid. But if you're that parent and you don't know maybe what to say to your kids, you know, you might show what's going on to their head. This book might give you some insight to what they're going to and help you frame that conversation or get you to just go in there and put your arms around them and say, I love you. You are my kid, and I love you as you are. You know,
it's a coffee table book. It's there. I want you to read it, enjoy it, laugh, cry with me, share your story with me. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marcus, we've come to the end of our time here. I want to thank you. As you progress and you have other things go on, like throughout the year, particularly around Pride, I'd like to talk to you again. I am excited about the fact that your book is in Spanish, you know? Your book is in Spanish. Then I think that I see it in all different kind of languages. When you, you know, so many different countries, everybody speaks different languages. There are so many people who, in this country, you know, I've had people say, well, English is our language. No, you know, we are a multicultural country, and so we need to reach out to people that way and not keep it from being available to them because, you know, they don't speak that language or the richness of it. I thank you for that.
That's the question I have. Just more so for those cultures, it's very hard to have those conversations. But I don't care. I'm going to push the buttons. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make sure everyone is comfortable as long as they're uncomfortable. You have to make them uncomfortable, make them comfortable.
Because when you're uncomfortable, you know what? You grow. If you're smart, you know, if you're there when you're uncomfortable, it's because you recognize it's something that you don't know or that you don't understand. You know, none of us know it all. I mean, I like to think that even at this point in my life, I'm still uncomfortable about certain things, and I want to learn and continue to grow. And I'm glad that Angela made this introduction. Like I said, I hope to talk to you over the years multiple times. And who knows, maybe one day we'll be on a stage together talking poetry.
But I would love
it. Oh, great. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome. So I will be at Boulder City Pride. I will be at Ferndale Pride. I will also be at Hazel Park's Pride. I will be everywhere because I now got listed, just got the text now saying you're requested to be at Hazel Park Pride this year. So I just got booked again.
Well, you know, Ferndale Pride is my favorite, you know, because that's where it's going to be. Hazel Park Pride I've gone to, so I know I'm going to see you come June. It's like, come June, come Pride. Hey, I'm there.
That's exactly how it is. And with being for one of the leaders for my job, I have to make my presence known.
Well, I look forward to seeing you. Stay well. Stay in touch.
Thank you so much, and you stay healthy, stay in touch. I look forward to talking to you again. This has been a pleasure this evening.
I want to thank my guest, Marcus Coley. His book, Being That Kid, is a coming out story. It may sound like everybody else's story, but there's a difference. We'll be back next week with more interviews of individuals living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality, and creating change. You can support Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and becoming a monthly supporter on Patreon.com. Current and past episodes of the show can be heard on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, or Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned as we continue to introduce you to more amazing individuals living between the lines, standing boldly in the crosshairs of their intersectionality and creating change right here on Collections by Michelle Brown Blog Radio. Thank you for listening.